Welcome to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims, live here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. That is cell phones, iPhones, laptops, or computers, or whatever electronic device you have. You have the opportunity to download the free app and have our show, our program, our station. If you have any questions or would like to make any comments, please call 740-383-9944. And we have a bonus for you today. My guest, H. Good, will be giving away free books to the first few callers here at WWGH. Free books to the first few callers. Telephone number again is 740-383-9944. And the name of his book is called Just Quit. It will make you feel better. He was here a couple weeks ago, and he's coming to finish up his interview. And before I turn to him, let me finish with my announcements. Starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Ongoing announcement for Logos Christian Ministries, free produce market. And everyone knows it's that time of year where we want and need fresh produce. Every second Saturday of every month, time is from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. No appointment. Simply show up, provide your name and number of people in your family. We have Inspect Ohio Home Inspection Company with 25 years of experience working from you, and they are out of LaRue, Ohio, and their telephone number is 740-262-0939. And I have a thought for you today. A winner is the title. A winner is a dreamer who never gives up. All right, so now I know most of you have been waiting. H. Good is back, and how are you doing today?
I am awesome, Miss Linda. Good to be here again with you.
Thank you. It's looking forward to it.
Oh, man, yeah. Last time I was here, it was sunny out, but still a little chilly. And, of course, you know, we've had that interesting that interesting Ohio weather where it's winter in the morning and then spring in the afternoon, and it seems like that's what kind of day we had today. It was a little warm this day today in the morning, but still you're not really sure, you know.
Right.
So glad to be here.
I'm glad you made it safe.
Yes.
People out there driving crazy, sunshine, and you know, everybody celebrating. You know how that is, right?
Yes, yes, oh, yes. People are excited about the weather change, so absolutely.
Yeah. Well, great, great. And I know when you were here last time, we did have a terrific interview, but I would like for you to start out today talking to just a little bit about your family, which is part of your bio, your wife and your children. We didn't get kind of that personal stuff in there, so we're going to start out with that today.
Awesome, awesome. So, yes, I'm married happily it'll be 14 years in October.
Wow.
And I have an awesome wife, Michelle. And of course, I think, Miss Linda, when you met me, when we first met each other, my wife and I had only been married for a couple of years. So,
really? Okay.
Yep. Wow. So, we've been married for 14 years and we have three beautiful children. I am honored to be there. First of all, I'm honored to be my wife's husband, but it's an awesome thing to be the father to my three children, Ava, who's 9 years old, Aaron, who is 7. I got my boy. I always wanted to have a son or sons.
Right.
So if you're listening, babe, we could have another one if you'd like. But anyway, and then I have a third child. Her name is Aria. So we decided to stay with the A's and just be different. And so they're in, I know you didn't ask me this, but I have Ava who's in third grade, my son Aaron who's in first, and Aria who was in kindergarten.
All right.
And if you saw them, or your listeners saw them, they would agree with me that they are the most adorable children. And we have them declare all the time that they're the best kids ever, well-behaved and respectful and all that good stuff. They don't come out the womb like that, but just with love and discipline, they are the best kids. So, yeah, that's a little bit about my family.
Well, great. Thank you for that. And I think a lot of our friends had saw, Facebook friends and family had saw your picture of you and your two daughters going to the
Oh, yes.
Dance. Yeah, I definitely put it on my page.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, that was the father-daughter dance, and that was Aria's, my youngest, that was her first time going.
Okay.
And every year we look forward to that, and it's an opportunity for me to just treat them. It's like a date, and so we're setting the expectation for my daughters on what to expect in a man.
Right.
And so it's another way for me just to spend some awesome time with them. We have fun. And this year was my first time doing a Facebook Live.
Right.
And I was just trying to, I'm big on just encouraging men to be good fathers, to be good husbands, godly fathers. And so I did a Facebook Live with the two of them. And I just thought, you know, I just wanted to encourage some other men.
Right.
You know, don't miss out on opportunities like that because, you know, it's amazing to me. I can remember when Ava was first born, and I know you have children, and people who have had children and their children are older will say these things to me that the time goes by really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember when Ava was, you know, just born, and my wife and I are looking at each other like, oh my gosh, life has really just changed.
Yes, it does.
And now she's, you know, 9 years old.
Nine, yes.
And so I don't want to miss out on those opportunities to influence her.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is, and my youngest daughter, Aria. So it was just a fun time. We do it every year, and we get all dressed up, and, you know, I treat it like it's a date. And so, yeah, we had a lot of fun that night.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. It's a good experience for young ladies to understand that if my dad did this for me, this is what I'm going to expect from someone
that's right.
that comes into my life.
That's right.
And it's, you know, and these things didn't used to be.
Correct.
You know. Well, I put it like this. When my dad took me out, it was a whole different circle.
Okay.
14 years old, you know, they take you out and your first dance or your first pair of heels and stuff like that. But, yeah, it was different.
And I think, you know, those are some of the things that in the generation and culture that we live in now, we've gotten away from some of those things.
True.
And so I understand that I know what kind of guy I was before I found God, and I know it's my duty, and I call it I get to date my daughters. I get to be the example, and I don't want them to, you know, try to figure those things out on their own. You know, I'm the first man really in their lives.
True.
And I can influence them one way or the other. I can, you know, I can show them love and discipline and consistency. I can be in their lives spiritually and emotionally, and that can set the tone for when they get to that age of being interested in a man,
right.
That they know what to look for, and they're looking for somebody that's healthy and not someone that's just, hey girl, you know, but somebody that will cherish them.
That's right.
Because that's what I do.
Right. Absolutely. So. Well, sounds like you're a good husband and a good dad, and you're Arthur now, and the founder and president of Good Solutions Staffing and Helper. I know some of the things that we're going to be talking about today. They're kind of deep, and I know you feel comfortable about talking about them. But
absolutely.
The things that brought you to write this book, and not only that, but some of the things you had to go through growing up as a young child.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned about your mother making a decision, or was trying to make a decision, to not have you when she was pregnant, to abort you at that time.
Yes.
How do you feel about that today?
Well, I'm grateful
right.
that my mother decided to keep me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it wasn't easy. You know, I didn't really understand that. She told me this story at the age of 15.
Did she?
We were having, you know, I grew up, for many years it was my mother and I, single parent family. And she was an educator, so she taught. And so there were times when, you know, when she was at work, when, you know, I would be at home doing things I probably shouldn't have been doing, not really developing any kind of discipline. But she was doing the best that she could with the resources. And she graduated from Michigan State University. Go Green. Don't know if your listeners will turn it off now that I said that.
Michigan listeners out there.
Yeah, Michigan State, Miss Linda. So, you know, when I didn't understand why my father was not in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand he lived about an hour away, away in Detroit. And for a young man growing up, knowing that my father was alive, it was hard to conceive that my father was not involved in my life. And so my mother, I am grateful that she never put my father down.
Mm-hmm.
She never said anything negative about him, but I did meet him at the age of 9 years old.
Okay.
And I didn't understand that, you know, as a child, you're trying to figure out, okay, why did we just meet? And then many years going forward, as I was in my teenage years, my mother did eventually marry, and I had a stepfather for a few years. And I'm grateful that I had a man example in my life.
Mm-hmm.
My relationship with my stepfather at the time I wouldn't consider a close relationship, but I was able to observe some positive things about him.
Good.
And so we were having issues in our home. I was acting out in school.
So that led to you being put out of school at what, second grade?
So, great question. So, yeah, it started young.
Right, right.
You know, the very school that my mother taught at, I had behavioral issues. And, you know, there were times when I would fight. There were times when I would try to be a bully. There were times when other kids would tease me. And so I learned that I needed to be the aggressor so that I didn't get, you know, beat up. And it got to the point where in second grade, just, you know, time after time after time, I mean, I was not doing well in school. You know, we had those standardized tests. Mm-hmm. I remember cheating because I didn't have confidence in my own abilities.
Right.
This is at second grade. And so I was getting in fights, and basically, you know, the principal said to me, Mr. Good, if you do one more thing, this is our final warning to you. Because I had been suspended a few times and gotten into fights and, you know, just disrupting class. And so in second grade, I would say maybe 2 or 3 days after that initial conversation with the principal, which is funny because many years later, her name is Dr. Fry. Dr. Fry actually saw the change in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in, do I want to say this? I'll just say she admired how I had changed and thought I would be a good catch for her daughter. But anyway,
I really
changed. Yeah. So it is possible to change. But yeah, second grade, a few days after that conversation where she basically said, this is your last chance, I got into a fight, play fighting. This time it was play fighting.
Right.
And I kicked one of my classmates. We were kind of play boxing.
Mm-hmm.
I kicked him. And he had been kicking me, and for some reason, he bent down. I kicked him in the mouth.
Ooh.
His adult tooth came out.
Oh, my.
He went running to the... I was like, no, Jimmy, don't tell. How can I, you know, and he's bleeding in the mouth.
Oh.
And so that was the last straw, and I got kicked out of second grade.
Wow.
And so it was just a progression of, you know, I'm embarrassed because I get kicked out of the second grade and I have to go to a different school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was just a progression of behavioral issues and academic issues all the way up until, you know, pretty much when I was able to get into college, which was, you know, I still to this day don't understand how it all happened, but it happened. So,
right.
So yeah.
Okay. Now, remember, listeners, if you're interested, H. Good is giving away free copies of his book, Just Quit. It will make you feel better. If you call 740-383-9944, again, 740-383-9944 for your free copy of H. Good's book. Okay. Awesome. Just great time.
Yes.
I'm just go with okay. the flow.
Yep. I'm flowing off of you.
Oh, of course. Of course. Now, through all of this, what did you really discover about yourself?
That's a good question. Because of learning, you know, when I was 15 years old, that my mother had tried to abort me. Mm-hmm. She actually went to New York to have it, but was too late, a week too late.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. I'm very grateful that that didn't happen. When I learned that story, mm-hmm. initially I was angry.
I'm sure you was.
And like many people.
Probably hurt too.
Hurt, yeah. You know, not understanding. And things began to make sense on why I dealt with rejection issues so hard. Mm-hmm. You know, my father not being in my life, and then finding out about the abortion, you know, when she tried to have the abortion. Then I had a conversation with my father at the age of 22, and he actually told me he was the one that paid for it. I never knew that. My mother never gave me those details. Oh, wow. But it was my father who paid for the plane ticket and was the one that wanted to, you know. You
didn't have any obligation whatsoever.
Correct.
You just go take care of this, putting everything on her.
Correct. Correct. Wow. And so I did gain a new level of respect. But, you know, I asked that question, Miss Linda. I asked the question that many people ask, why am I here? What is my purpose?
Right.
And I, even as a kid, would see things, you know, I had friends that had a lot of money, and I had friends that didn't have a lot of money. My parents, you know, had a lot of friends, and I saw them partying all the time. And I always asked the question, why am I here? Like, is there a way to find out my purpose? And so that was the question that I asked for many, many years. And, you know, I ended up somewhat discovering that at the age of 22, but there was a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, a lot of bad decisions, lack of confidence. You know, I lacked confidence in school. I was good in basketball, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but even there, I didn't really put the effort forth. I didn't do what I needed to do academically to really succeed. And a lot of the decisions that I made when I was younger, middle school to high school, was based on, you know, I thought if I did poorly in school, I knew that that was important to my mother to see me do well.
Right.
And because I did not know where to, I had this anger, I was hurt, I'm dealing with rejection, and so I acted out. And so whenever my mother chastised me or my stepfather chastised me, I rebelled, and the way I rebelled was I did poorly in school, and I just didn't do anything. I mean, I thought it would affect me after high school, but I thought if I could hurt them through my grades, because my mother was extremely big on me doing well in school and comparing me to other, you know, my other friends. So I thought, you know, I'm going to do bad. I'm just going to not do anything.
She doesn't appreciate me, right?
Correct.
Don't like that.
Doesn't appreciate me.
I never do anything good enough for her. So
here's the other thing that I talked to. I have some friends of mine who are getting ready to marry. You know, they're going, you know, they're getting ready to marry and they have children.
Right.
And one of the things that the conversation that never took place was I was the main man in my mother's life for many years.
Right.
It was just her and I. So now this new man comes into our life, and I don't know how to deal with that. I'm like, how do you love him and love me? Because I see you now devoting your attention to him, and I'm not getting that attention. And because there was never a discussion on what the roles were going to be or where my stepfather, you know, the love and, you know, what his role was, mm-hmm. I felt like I had to compete with him.
Right.
So I've encouraged.
That's your mother.
Correct. Correct. And you're basically taking her away from me, mm-hmm. is how I felt. Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just dealing with those things. And I encourage some of my friends to make sure they have that discussion with their children.
Right.
On the role of their spouse, and you know, you just because you marry someone else doesn't mean that I love you less.
Right.
And so these are things that I just, as I begin to kind of discover my purpose and start doing some self-reflection as I got older,
mm-hmm.
examining my life, deciding what I want to do with my life, deciding if I want to continue to go down this path of just destruction, or, you know, going down this path of, I knew there was always greatness in me, but I didn't know how to really tap it.
Right.
So, I can't even remember what the point I was making to you, Linda, but just those, it was difficult growing up and trying to figure out where my role was, right. You know, with my mother, in the family, in school. So I rebelled, and but what ended up happening was that all of that rebelling, all of that thinking that I'm going to hurt her by not doing well in school, it actually came back to bite me. Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes. And when you talk about mentally tough,
mm-hmm.
Now are you talking about you rebelling during this time of your, it really was a lack that you had.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And the love that she had for you,
mm-hmm.
you didn't know how to receive that.
Mm-hmm. That's
graciously
true.
And thankfully, because you're too young.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think of the many parents that may be listening who may be a single mother, mm-hmm. or single father. He may even have the children. They're not with their mother.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the biggest, from what I understand, is a son not having his father.
Correct. Yeah.
It causes so much damage.
It does. It does. And we now live in a culture that doesn't really celebrate marriage.
Isn't it strange?
Yes. Yes. And so you brought up one of those terms, mental toughness. I really believe, this is my opinion, I believe that a child, there are different, you know, when you have a man and a woman and they've created this baby, you know, it takes both to raise up a healthy child. I'm grateful that I've had mentors in my life, male mentors. I'm grateful I've had examples of what it looks like for a father to love his wife and his children. And I'm very grateful for seeing examples of that, since, you know, I didn't see that growing up. But I really believe that some of the, when it comes to mental toughness, children will typically take on the role or the personality of the dominant personality in the family. And my mother was not a quitter. But I believe mental toughness can really be instilled by fathers if they've, you know, walked through some battles and been able to overcome, you know, certain setbacks and odds. And so when things got hard for me, whether it was homework, I was just talking to my son about this yesterday. He's 7 years old and he's starting to really exceed in school. But he started off low. He didn't start off. And so I was talking to him about how important it has been, how it's blessed myself and my wife to see his progress. Now, my wife and I are both very involved in his life and in his schooling.
Right.
And my son doesn't lack confidence. And so we work with him with his reading and his comprehension. And so you can see the major improvements. And so I was telling him that, you know, me not growing up with my father really hurt in that area, because mm-hmm. boys look to their dads or a male for affirmation.
Yes.
And when things get tough, there are certain things that a man can say to a young man that maybe a woman can't say to, or she can say it, but it's going to be different coming from that male.
That's
Does that
true.
Make sense? Their father.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I see so much of
Correct.
It.
Correct. And so I was extremely emotional growing up, and when things would get tough, I would just want to quit. Just like the book.
Right.
You know?
Just quit.
Yes.
It'll make you feel better. Don't forget, call in and get your free copy.
740-383-9944. And so, you know, moving forward, in school, whenever things got tough, in math, if it got tough, I would find easy ways to get out.
Okay.
Instead of confronting the issue and trying to work it out, I would just quit. I would find ways to drop the class, or I would just fail.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't even try because it was hard.
Right.
It was hard, and I had not learned the capacity. I didn't have the capacity. I didn't have the diligence, the perseverance, the grit to say, you know what, this thing is not going to overcome me. I would just submit to the hard part and just quit. And I see that today with a lot of youth. So with this business that, you know, I started several years ago, it got hard. It got really hard. And, you know, I shared the last time I was here that fear became that's what I meditated on. I meditated on all the things that could happen, and I did not really meditate on my faith, you know, and you know that I'm a man of
possible.
Correct. What was possible. And I would look at my circumstances and I would make very bad decisions. And then when everything kind of exploded and just came to a halt and things weren't working out the way that I wanted them to, I was ready to quit and throw in the towel. And what was that quote that you said at the beginning about winners? Can you repeat that, please?
A winner is a dreamer who never gives up.
Yes. And I love quotes like that. And so when it comes to that is a mental toughness type of quote. Because you've heard the term quitters never win and winners never quit.
Right.
And the only person that can cause failure is me. And the way I cause failure is if I give up. So yeah, I've had to develop some mental toughness.
Caller, you are on the air. Hello?
Hello?
All right. We're ready for your question. Hi.
Okay. Yes, this is Peach. I called in to talk to Age. I'm so excited.
Hey, Peach.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great.
My question is, actually, I just wanted to make a comment about how this is a totally different dimension for the church. You literally have opened up a totally new dynamic of brokenness and fear and desperation that the church has not heard of, because we weren't raised having the privilege and to have those type of feelings. And so this is different. It's new. It's refreshing. You literally have no idea of the ministry that's going to be birthed out of this book.
Wow. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Because it has so many dimensions. It's more than just the chapters of being a young kid and having questions. You know, we grew up in the era where we weren't allowed to ask questions.
Right.
And my mother knows that, and this is her show, so it's kind of like being transparent about my life growing up with my mother. We didn't ask questions. We just did.
Yes.
And so I'm excited to be a part of what you're doing. I really feel like this could be something you guys could do once a month. Like, it's a totally different ministry of people listening who've been raised in the church, realizing, oh my goodness, brokenness is part of being a human being. Fear.
Yes.
This is all part of, you know, who we are. We were made this way to have these feelings, but they've been suppressed for so long because that's something Christians don't do.
Yep.
And so just your transparency, I mean, I have my son listening to the show also, just your transparency, it's refreshing. I thank you for it.
Thank you. Can I share real quick?
Yes.
So, you know, the reason why I've made some people feel uncomfortable when I get transparent. And, you know, one of the things that I've learned, I have mentors, business mentors. I was listening to one of my mentors yesterday, and he was on a program with another individual, and they were talking about, you know, the one gentleman said, do things fearless. And he goes, you know what? I don't know if I really agree with that. I get what people are trying to say, but everybody experiences fear. And the reason why I can share what I share in my book is because I've realized that sometimes, especially men, we don't want to get real.
Right.
We want to make it seem like we've always been at the mountaintop, or when we've had setbacks, we don't really want to take people through the mental challenges that, you know, that we face. And I think, and you've heard this, women are, it's easier for them to share those kinds of things. And so I felt like because I've changed and I've grown and I continue to develop, that I can be transparent because I'm growing. I'm not the guy I used to be. And so I can, you know, be real and be open and also talk about how God has had to heal me in some areas so that I can go forth and not stay stuck.
Yeah, it's powerful. Mm-hmm.
And so men, you know, it's amazing. And this is the last thing I'll say on it. You know, this book is laced with scripture. And I wasn't really sure. I mean, I use this book goes into the marketplace. So whenever I'm speaking, there are some venues that I speak at allow me to bring this book. And it's laced with scripture because, you know, I'm a man of faith. That was the change in my life. And when I was 22, a junior in college playing basketball, that was the change that took place in my life. And so even as a man of faith, a man of God, having these questions, having these, you know, challenges during my walk and experiencing major setbacks or what most people would say failure. And here's the thing about mental toughness. I was saying this earlier, or I was not on this program, but I was having a conversation earlier, is that I love what Les Brown says. He goes, anyone who's done any kind of success in life, who's lived a life of significance, and that's what I'm looking to do, live a life of significance and impact and influence, they have all failed. And you know, most people who are wealthy have failed 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times. Dr. Seuss, you know, the author of, you know, Green Eggs and Ham and Cat in a Hat. I mean, he was turned down 27 times before a publisher took his book. My point is this. If you have failed in something once or twice, you're running on about average. So keep on going. Don't quit. That when you stay in the game, that's where you begin to develop that mental toughness. And that's where you can really begin to help other people. So that's my whole purpose. I'm trying to help folks, trying to be real and authentic. And also talk about how God has walked me through this. And I've had to get free in some areas that I wasn't willing to, you know, discuss, things that I discuss in this book. Had to get free. So that's how I'm able to share. And I know when you're transparent, that's what really helps other people.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it's been definitely something I've been on board since I heard about it, just watching, paying attention.
Wow.
Just from the first time I met you and Michelle, and just had a lot of respect for you, not even realizing you're going through things.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, I love this couple. My daughter was always in love with you and your family. She was always obsessed with Ava.
That's funny.
Always a work of the minute, always would be in the nursery because Ava was in there. No other child even mattered to her. Like, oh my God, I want to watch her.
That's funny.
So, you know, just always been obsessed with your family. And I'm telling you, this is a totally new dimension. And going to be praying as you walk through this.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. I really appreciate those words of encouragement, too. And this is something that we need to talk about in the church.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, this is...
So much bondage in the church.
Yes.
This is amazing. This is freeing. This is freedom.
Wow.
Yes, it is freedom.
Wow, wow,
it's
wow.
It's freedom. So wow, I appreciate you taking my call.
Amen. Are you going to get a book or can I mail you a book?
I own a book.
Oh, okay.
I own a book already. I bought a book, but I would like to have one because I know somebody who needs it.
All right. We'll get it mailed out to you.
I will give it to somebody. Okay.
I'll mail it to you.
Mom, you have my address, so.
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know my address? What?
Well, text
okay,
it to
another
me.
Time. I'll text it to you. Okay, another time, another Sunday.
See you.
All right.
Bye.
All right. Take care.
That's funny.
See, they forget. I used to have to remember all that stuff, right?
Correct. You got a cell phone. Yeah. Yeah, I get it. That's right. That's funny.
But it's just, they think I'm invincible. I'm perfect. I remember everything. And, you know.
Hey, moms, I was just telling my wife yesterday. I said, babe, you are like the cornerstone in our family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing. Yes, I have my role.
Right.
But there's so many. I mean, yes. And there's things that, you know, can't get done in the family or on the team if I don't do it.
Right.
But the mother just, she plays a vital role. And that's probably why your kids, you got my You got my address. You remember my number? You know, because I do that to my wife sometimes. You remember my, you know. Right. So
I just wanted to say that this is a very, it's an excellent book. It's an easy read. There's only 48 pages. Again, the title is Just Quit. It will make you feel better.
Thank you.
And hopefully you are getting something from the interview that we're having. And hopefully we'll have H. Good again in the near future before it gets too hot, I guess. It depends. It depends. But it is opening up eyes even as we speak, because there's so many young adult men dealing with this. They don't know how to express themselves. They don't know how to deal with the fear and anxiety that they have, because their father, they may know their father, but he's really not like
present
right here.
Right. Yes. Right. Yes.
Here. I can call, I can go visit, but he's still not like right here. He may be with someone else. He may have other children, but
correct,
he's not right here with me.
Yes.
What's going to happen to me? Who's going to take care of me? Who can I go talk to?
Yes.
You know, who even cares about me if my own father doesn't care?
Can I respond to that?
Yes, you can.
So thank God for biological fathers, and they do. That is God's method. I mean, he wants that father, especially if it's, you know, if they're alive, and he wants that father involved in their children's lives. But, you know, back to what I was talking about earlier, that change that took place in my life. You know, I wasn't raised in church.
Okay.
My mother was, and you've heard this before, stay at home on Sunday parents don't raise going to church on Sunday kids.
True.
So I was in that situation where my mother thought it would be good for me. And she would stay home on Sunday and send me to Sunday school. And I'm like, Mom, why aren't you going? So you don't go. I don't want to go.
Right.
So that was the little bit of church I did have. And then when I was having problems in high school and, you know, dating girls and, you know, still not really understanding my purpose. And then that home life was just chaotic. I had a friend, my best friend in high school, his stepfather was a pastor. And so there was a desire to find out if God was real.
Right.
Because I had heard people talk about God and I wanted to know. So there was a desire. We would party on Saturday nights and he had a car. So I would ask him on Sunday morning if he would come pick me up. And I thought sometimes he would come, and his father his stepfather was a pastor. So every now and then we would go and I would see the different things going on at church.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Linda. It's Tara.
Hi, Tara. You have a question for H. Good?
Yeah, I have a question for you. I was with you today, and you must have neglected to tell me about the exciting guest that you had on the show today.
It was a fast-paced meeting.
Yeah.
You know that.
Well, I was listening to the show, and welcome, and it's a nice interview, and I can't wait to listen to it on the archive. But when we talk about adjustments and making changes in our life, are people sometimes leery and have butterflies in their stomach, and how do they handle that type of an adjustment when they're taking like that giant leap? I'll hang up and let you guys answer.
Now, you have a free book coming from your call, so text me address.
Okay. Is it going to be autographed, too?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I'll continue to listen. Thanks.
Okay. He's going to answer that question for you. Thank you for call.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. So, what did you think she asked, Linda?
Weren't you going to make a leap.
A leap,
you're,
yep.
Afraid. You got the butterflies in your stomach and the fears on you. How do you proceed in going forward?
Great, great, great question. Because we all feel fear. The voice of fear is real as well.
Right.
And so I'm going to say a few things to it. Again, what you feed lives and what you starve dies. So what are you meditating on? Instead of thinking what can go wrong, let's think what can go right. anything worth doing in life, there's going to be risk. Mm-hmm. And you're going to feel fear.
Right.
But as you take steps, as you begin to ask yourself questions like, what are you fearing? Mm-hmm. And you know what? And when you begin to look at what are you trying to overcome? So if there's a target that you're trying to reach, and you know there's greatness on the inside of you, there's a target you're trying to reach, there's something that you believe is on the inside of you, the fear is going to be there. But I say, do it anyway. I love what, I'm going to use another Les Brown quote because I listen to him a lot. He says, go ahead and take the leap and grow your wings on the way down. Don't expect to have the wings. You know, birds have wings, but they don't know how to fly until they actually, you know, jump out of that nest.
That's true.
So go ahead and take the leap. And as you are falling down or going down, you're going to learn, you're going to grow, and you're going to grow your wings on the way down. So do your research. Whatever that thing is that you're looking to accomplish or that decision that you're looking to make, do your research and know that if it doesn't work out the way you envision it, don't give up. You keep trying again and stop looking at what could go wrong and think of what could go right.
Thank you for that. We are out of time as usual. Let them know exactly how they can get this book other than calling in today.
Yes, awesome. Thank you so much. So, again, thank you, Ms. Linda, for having me here. They can go to www.thehgood.com. They can order our book there. They can also sign up for our newsletter on thehgood.com. That's good with an E at the end, G-O-O-D-E. Or they can go to Amazon.com and find the book, Just Quit. It will make you feel better there. If you you can order.
We're out of time.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. The legendary attorney and representative of clients such as O.J. Simpson and Dr. Sam Shepard, F. Lee Bailey.
Let's talk about that. The day the verdict came back, Dr. Shepard had been in prison over a decade at that point.
No, he was out on bail by then.
Oh, he was out on bail by then. Excuse me.
Yeah, but you're right. He was in prison for 10 years short 15 days.
That being said, when this came back, what was his feeling? What was your feeling that day?
Sam, who was sitting next to me, I had not put him on the stand, partly because he told his story so many times, telling it again wasn't going to make it much stronger, and second, he had a real problem with alcohol that was looming at that time. I mean, this case really got to him, as you might expect. When they said not guilty, he slammed his hand down on the big oak table where the defense sat. I thought he would split it, and said, it's about time. And I thought that was a perfectly spontaneous reaction for a guy that had a real gripe against the legal system.
To the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, legendary actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, ugh, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors.
That?
Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Yeah. doesn't it just? I'd never thought of that, but you're quite right.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com. Thomas Lawn Service for all your lawn care and landscaping needs. Telephone number 740-751-1783. The WWGH Radio prize policy is as follows. You have 10 days from the day you win the prize to pick the prize up. You can only win once every 30 days. WWGH Radio staff reserves the right to question any and all prize winnings. The WWGH offices are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for prize pickup. The WWGH offices are located at 559 East Center Street in the lower level of the Belltone Building. Thank you so much for playing fair.
This is Patty Worcester with Marion Midget Football, a staple of the Marion community for over 45 years, providing sportsmanship, friendship, and exciting competition. To our Marion youth, 740-382-4558.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by Affordable Event Games, LLC. Address 141 South Main Street. Telephone number 740-262-6050. Facebook Affordable Event Games. This is Scott Spears, high above Marion in the WWGH News Chopper. If you see news in Marion, please email us at scott@wwgh1071.com. And keep an eye out for the WWGH News Chopper flying high overhead. Vanover Village Townhouses, located in Marysville, now renting 2- and 3-bedroom townhouses. Telephone number 93